New York City. The woman called Jean Grey lays asleep in her apartment building. She begins to toss and turn in her bed, her eyes flickering. She is dreaming. Dreaming that same dream now for the fifth time in as many nights this week. But this time, it has changed. She sees images of the strange world, the strange people, the bird of fire forming from the flames. The firebird comes closer and speaks different words from its blazing beak.
Jean, Jean, do not be afraid. Soon, very soon, we will finally be together.
Jean wakes with a start, a sharp gasp, breathing heavily. She then stops herself and turns, looking over at her clock and seeing the time of 3 a.m. She lowers herself slowly back into the bed. The dreams will just have to wait. For tomorrow is a busy day, and she needs her rest. A day of shopping followed by a night on the town with the X-Men, her friends new and old, and the man she loves. It is the time of year for it, after all. The time to give and receive. The time to be with family. The time of Christmas. In a New York State prison, a door opens, and the man known as Larry Trask enters his side of the visitor's area. The guard nods to a suited man sitting at the other side of the glass. Trask sighs and makes his way over, sits and picks up the receiver, the other man doing the same.
Stephen Lang. Thought you'd be in here with me by now.
Now, Trask, we did everything we could. But the president was... well, he isn't thinking straight. Don't worry about it. We'll have you out as soon as the next puppet is voted in.
And then what? Going to have my sentinels for him as well? For you? Then leave me to take the fall? Because we decided together that Fred Duncan needed to be silenced.
Shh, calm down. You did take the fall, I agree, but we are not the ones to blame here. The mutants are, especially Xavier and his X-Men.
Tell me the school was shut down.
Oh, worse. Rumor has it they just recruited new students.
Jesus.
So you want revenge?
And how am I going to do that from in here?
Tell me the code.
The code?
For the Sentinels, idiot. I found where that third wave is stored, that third wave that was never deployed during the failed assault on the Scottish island. Now, is it numerical, a password? No matter what I do, I just can't seem to crack it.
It's just a word.
Just one word. No wonder I couldn't crack it. I didn't think anybody'd be that stupid. What is it?
A name. Bolivar.
Ah, your father. Yeah.
The man they killed. Yes. Now you have it. Do me a favor, Lang.
What?
Kill them. All of them.
X-Men Season 2, Episode 3, The Sentinels Return. Part 1.
Central Park, New York City. The X-Men and friends are stood in a group, rare Christmastime snow falling around them as shoppers and pedestrians pass by, people skating on a big stretch of ice behind them.
Well, I'll be. An honest-to-goodness white Christmas. In the city and all this. I haven't had one of these since I was a wee girl.
Isn't the snow beautiful, Aurora?
In a way, Miss Grey. But I can't help remembering that on the slopes of Kilimanjaro, the snow is forever white.
Oh, come on, Aurora. It's Christmas. Even if you don't celebrate it, you have to enjoy it. And call me Jean.
Very well, Jean.
Moira, Do you want to go grab a cup of cocoa?
Yeah, why not? Do have some last-minute bits of shopping to do. We'll catch up with you all later on.
Okay, have fun.
Jean waves as the two Celtic descendants walk away arm in arm.
They're getting close.
I think it happened while he stayed with her. And I guess absence makes the heart grow fonder and all that.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for poor Nightcrawler. He would have really enjoyed being here.
Yeah, well, until we find a way to disguise him, he can't exactly disappear into the crowd.
Da, of course.
Wolverine, cheer up. For me?
Sure, Red. For you. But these holidays, they just aren't my thing. Only reason I agreed to come is because I had nothing better to do. But now that cold brew I left in the fridge seems like a mighty fine idea. Bah. Petey, follow me.
Where are we going, Tavarish?
To have some fun.
Were we not having it?
Yeah, more fun.
Such as?
There's a good strip joint just up that avenue.
A what?
You're welcome to join us too, Slim.
I'll pass, thank you, Wolverine.
Yes, he most certainly will.
You're lost, leader man. Come on, Petey.
I'm not sure.
You will love it. Trust me.
Still hasn't given you his name, then?
Insists that Wolverine is the only name he needs. Must have something to hide.
He's used to hiding. Especially his past. At least, what of it he can remember.
What?
Nothing. Just what I gleaned from a passive scan. Won't go any deeper without his permission.
So you know his name?
Yes.
Really? What is it?
You'll have to ask him.
Ah, come on.
Anyway, enough of that. You owe me a Christmas gift, and I have a few ideas.
Oh boy.
In a darkened warehouse across state, Stephen Lang enters through a passcoded door. If his superiors knew what he was doing, he would most certainly be terminated, perhaps even jailed along with Trask. But he knows what he must do. He flicks a switch, bringing power on and illuminating the room. Lang takes a moment to look over the covered giant forms ahead of him, the tarps with words written upon them, "Classified, do not remove." He disregards it and makes his way over, reaching down to a small keyboard and typing the word Bolivar into the computer. And with that, 20 forms start to come to life.
Sentinel 3A online. Conduit units, awaiting orders.
Scan for mutant signatures in the New York area. Target and capture as many as you can, then bring in the location Alpha 4.
Orders received. Commencing directives.
See you soon, X-Men.
The evening continues to pass into night. The city that never sleeps living up to its name. Scott and Jean walk down the street. The two mutant lovers spending their first night together since before they can remember. They take a moment to break from their wandering and stop in a small coffee shop. Enjoying the warmth indoors, they order and remove their winter wear. Sitting now on comfy chairs and enjoying the low, ambient lit place.
Reminds me of Coffee A Go-Go.
Yeah, have you been lately?
No, not since last we all went. I think Joe still owns it.
Yeah. Not the same without Zelda, though.
No.
Oh, thank you.
Jean thanks the server as he places their cups of steaming hot coffee upon the table before them.
So, how's the new place?
Same as it was last time you came by. Why?
Just wondering. I mean, are you happy there, alone?
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love living with you all, but nice to have my own space. Great to get out on my own, you know?
Yeah.
You're welcome to join me. There is room for two.
Jean, we've talked about this. We've talked about talking about this. I
can't leave, I know. But don't you want a normal life?
Normal? Jean, with these eyes... I can't live a normal life. I belong at the school.
So you keep saying.
Jean, I...
Scott, stop. I'm only a few miles away. You have a car. You could visit me a lot more than you do.
You don't think I try? I'm busy.
Being an X-Man. But what does that mean, anyway?
Keep your voice down.
Sure, that island was something no human could handle, but no real mutant threat has risen up to replace Magneto. And that mission last month could easily have been handled by any well-trained task force. And what happened to John Proudstar?
You don't think I had to live with that? I was his leader. I failed him. He died on my watch.
Scott, I'm saying he didn't have to die at all. There was a time when the X-Men were needed, but now why don't you move on? With me. Let the new group handle all that. Let the school actually be a school.
I can't.
Then where does that leave us?
I will come into the city as much as I can, Jean.
Yeah.
Jean lowers her head, turning so that Scott cannot see the tears forming in her eyes. Before either can utter another word, the table begins to shake. Just a few blocks away, Moira MacTaggert and Sean Cassidy are walking arm in arm.
So you like being at the school?
I like being with other people like myself, Moira. I like being part of a team, doing good again, like I used to.
So you're saying it's like being a mutant policeman?
Yeah, something like that.
I wish I could see it that way, Sean, but after John...
Wait, do you hear that?
Lord above, it's a sentinel!
Moira, get behind me!
Banshee lets out a deafening scream, blasting the features from the Iron Giant, shaking some of the armor plating flying. But the machine then brings up its arm and fires, only just missing and blasting the wall behind Sean. The explosion sends him and Moira flying to the ground.
Apprehension of target mutant. In progress.
No, get off me, you big...
Sean tries to scream, but then is hit with a blast set for stun. He falls unconscious into its hand, Moira standing and running towards the giant machine.
Let go of him, you monstrosity!
But she can do nothing, as the robot's feet jets ignite, and it takes to the air, with Banshee in its hand. Inside the now-destroyed coffee shop, Scott Summers and Jean Grey regain their footing, as around them everyone else flees in panic. Jean reaches out using her telekinesis to pull the robot to its knees. Scott then throws off his glasses, just for a second, and lets loose with an optic blast. The Sentinel reels, Scott then opening his eyes for almost 10 whole seconds, letting the raw energy of his power destroy the head of the creature. Sending what remains of it falling back and destroying the street below.
That got it.
Yeah, but here come two more. Down the street.
How are they back? Where did these ones come from?
I don't know. Come on.
Halt, mutants!
What the...
Storm.
The sky now grows darker still, as angry lightning crashes over clouds forming together in unnatural funnels. A white-haired goddess now rises into the sky before them. Storm brings her arms down, sending a massive bolt of lightning into the back of one of the sentinels, knocking it down. A second strike through the back of the chest finishes the job.
Cyclops, Jean, run!
I shall take care of this abomination.
Unidentified mutant detected. Capture mode initiated.
You shall not capture me. You are nothing but metal and electricity, made by the hands of man, and nothing man-made can hope to withstand the power, terrible power of Mother Nature. Now feel her wrath!
Storm, more behind you, watch out.
It is too late. Storm is struck in the back, sending her falling from the sky.
Ah! No!
A sentinel then targets Jean and fires.
Ah!
Jean, no! That's it, you metal sons of...
No, Scott! There are too many of them. We have to get out of here.
At that moment, down the street, Wolverine and Colossus now emerge from their... show.
That was... enlightening.
Stick with me, Peter, my boy. And there's plenty more where that came from. What the...
Wolverine moves back out of the way as a rush of people run past him, yelling and screaming in panic.
What the hell is going on?
I believe I may have found the cause of their panic, Tavanish.
Wolverine follows the Russian's eyeline across the street, and from where the people are running, seeing the hulking sentinels and then Scott Summers blasting away at them below.
Sentinels. I recognize them from our briefings during training. They are bigger than I thought. What is happening? Why hasn't the professor contacted us?
I don't know, but the heat is on, Petey. And I hate it when a fight starts without me.
Wolverine, wait for me.
The two metal-enhanced mutants now run down the street. Wolverine, reaching the Titans first, now leaps up with his claws out and brings them down into the robot's back, sparks flying as he digs in. Wolverine then reels back and stabs further up its back with one hand, then the other, using his metal claws to pull himself up the machine. As behind him, Colossus now reels back, bringing a clubbing blow into another sentinel's knee, keeling it over, and then, with a mighty swinging running blow, takes out its other leg, bringing it crashing down onto its back. Smashing the concrete of the street as Peter is just able to get out of the way. On the ground, he and Cyclops then look up, seeing Wolverine now having reached the head of the Sentinel. The automaton thrashing about, trying to throw him off.
Cyclops, another is targeting him.
I got it.
With a snarling yell, he brings down his metal claws into the base of its neck and slashes away until the sentinel finally falls forward. Crashing to the ground lifeless, Wolverine leaps off at the last second and crashes to the ground below.
Wolverine!
I'm okay. I heal fast. But I don't think it's over just yet.
Wolverine points as three more sentinels land. Two of them right on top of two police cruisers that were rushing towards the scene. The destroyed set now being replaced as the sentinels again close in. Cyclops blasts with all he has, but the sentinels are now beginning to avoid them.
They're learning.
Allow me, comrade.
The sentinels blast him, and again. Colossus's steel form holding, but the sentinels turn up the power, both of them now targeting and blasting down with a full raging force upon Peter. The metal man holding on as long as he can. But soon, he falls.
Colossus!
Cyclops now runs in to engage again. With a bright, blinding light, Scott's vision is gone, hearing nothing but a high-pitched ringing in his ears. When finally reality begins to return, Scott finds himself buried under what once must have been part of the street. As he stands, emerging from it, he looks out upon the devastated street, seeing nothing and no one.
Jean, Colossus!
He calls out, avoiding eye contact with the terrified people still present.
Cyclops!
Scott turns with a start, seeing Aurora Monroe, walking gingerly towards him, using what remains of a wall to keep herself upright.
Storm, where are the others?
Taken. I saw them in the arms of the metal creatures.
Then how did you?
It would seem the Sentinels forgot about me. And you?
Yeah. I guess even machines can make mistakes. Can you stand? We have to get back to the mansion.
I shall make the trip.
Good. Let's move before the cops show up.
As Scott Summers and Aurora Monroe rush back to their base to mount a rescue, a man watches this all from his gilded office within the confines of his private establishment. This club has a very elite, very exclusive membership. None more so than its inner circle. He is dressed in attire suited for the 18th century, mutton chops and long black hair tied back with a bow. As he observes the destruction, the carnage left in the Sentinel's wake, a woman attired in a white furred cape and burlesque gear approaches him.
Did it work?
Yes. The device was able to shield our mutant signatures from the Sentinels again.
Good. It's twice it has saved us. My compliments to its creator.
I shall pass it along. A good job we were given that warning, or we would have never activated it in time. How can they even be back?
I don't know. No announcement, no press conference, and no regard for collateral damage to property or civilians. Our government is crude, but not that crude.
As you say.
Must be a rogue element. Gather the circle, Emma. We must make preparations.
As you wish, Shaw.
X-Men Season 2, Episode 3, The Return of the Sentinels, Part 1. Starring Omri Rose as Cyclops, Natalie Winter as Jean Grey, Rex Anderson as Wolverine, Tyree Peterside as Storm, Stephen Chesterton as Colossus, Mr. John as Banshee, Drew Kalen as Stephen Lang, Daniel Carey as Larry Trask, Isabel Wolfe as Moira McTaggart, Ryan Craig as Sebastian Shaw, Jeannie McGuinness as the White Queen Emma Frost. Music by Declan Gilgallon. Written and edited by Carl Dutton. Adapted from the works of Chris Claremont and Dave Cockrum. For more episodes like these, go to rivalcastmedia.com or find us on Facebook under Scyther Audio Dramas. X-Men and all characters therein are copyright of Marvel Entertainment. This is a fan production with no infringement.